This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show, presented by boomboom.co for millennials.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Shariat Abdullah. It's the last Friday of the month and we have Chris Tan of Chur Associate in our studio to answer your legal questions concerning property ownership. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
That's right. Thank you very much for welcoming me to the show. If you have any questions for Chris, you can send them our way via email. Our address is property@bfm.my and you can send us a WhatsApp on 018-789-8899. Our first question for today comes from Inche Zafril, who is considering the refinancing of his mortgages in light of the recent interest cut announcement. He's got several questions, so we'll go through a few of them. But before that, I have a personal question because I think he's passed a few lines of questioning. How does the interest rate announcement affect mortgage holders?
I think the interest rate announcement, affect the mortgage holders in that sense because, for a start, what it means is that the applicable interest would be affected. Since the announcement, personally, because I'm an investor myself, I already received a few letters from the bank telling me that, you know, my monthly installment as a result of that has been reduced. So by, you know, $10 or even $100, depends how big is your investment and how big is your loan. So that interest rate is because the concept of effective interest rate applicable by the bank is actually got to do with a floating rate and a fixed rate. So normally there's a floating part of it and plus whatever the fixed one of it. But for all intents and purposes, this make the bank a little bit more competitive, and which means that there's a control part of the pricing and the non-control part of the pricing. So if you've done the OPR, the impact is really to mix it together, and yet you have the floating part that is affecting the control part of the fixed pricing, yes.
Okay, so that means, am I right to understand that only those who have a floating interest would have their mortgage reduced as a result of this interest rate cut?
Yeah, most of the time, because if you bring back an old concept where everyone a little bit more familiar to it, because now there is no such thing as BLR. There used to be a concept of BLR, means base lending rate. Currently, it's called effective lending rate. But we talk about base lending rate, basically is a rate that is fixed by the bank negara. And what happened by the bank is normally BLR plus 2, BLR plus 1.5, BLR plus 3, doesn't matter, right? So there is always a rate where it's floating, simply because when from time to time, the bank negara will then do that to adjust based on the financial situation of the country. So that bank base lending rate is what we are talking about, where the OPR have an impact in that sense, whereby once it is counted in, then it will have adjustment on your interest that is imposed on your loan.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
I hope that serves as an introduction over the subject. So Zafriel's question is that why would some homeowners refinance their home?
I think basically, first of all, whether it got to do with OPR or not, that's a different issue. All right. I would say that, you know, because normally when an OPR cut rate, unless you are on a fixed rate situation whereby you don't enjoy the reduction, like for example, the most recent one is 25 basis point. So that would be turning out to be 0.25%. And if you talk about those kind of OPR cuts in that sense, normally if you have a float plus a fixed kind of variance or hybrid or either way, you should enjoy the cut. But a refinancing is another idea. Because refinancing, what it means is this. So a lot of people don't get the refinancing concept right. So refinancing actually means you settle your existing,
mm-hmm.
and then you get a new one.
Yeah.
Right? So a fresh or new loan, all right? Either with different feature or with the same bank or with a different bank. So that's the whole concept of refinancing. That's different from what we call an additional top-up loan. A top-up loan is different. For example, you have an existing bank currently, your house is pledged to them. Let's say when you bought your house, it was $500,000, and now your house is worth $1 million. So what you can do is to ask for additional bank loan, given that your value of the house have gone up. Because earlier on, when they sell the house to you, they were lending to you based on $500,000, which is your original value. And let's say at 90%, they are actually lending you effectively the loan sum at $450,000. So let's say now it's $1 million now.
I see.
In terms of value. So then you are asking for a cash out. Which means I'm just saying that, hey bank, my property have gone up, so now you have over-securitized in that way, so can I apply for extra? So what happens is that you can probably, based on that, ask for another 300,000, 400,000. Depends on your income and credibility. Yeah.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, number one is that there are those who have a fixed interest mortgage and individuals that may benefit from this reduction of interest rate.
Right.
And another one is that for homeowners who would like to refinance their home is when they want to raise cash.
Yes, in that sense, not just raise cash or even spread the tenure. Right, in that sense, what happened is that I could be asking for refinancing. Maybe I can enjoy a lower rate offered by a different bank, perhaps, mm-hmm. right, or different package or different feature that is more suitable to my circumstances. And I probably want to stretch it. For example, when I stretch it, then my installment per month will be then lesser.
Lesser.
All right.
But technically, your debt is stretched.
It's
much longer.
Longer because we talk about cash flow.
Mm.
I mean, one thing that we
cash
need
flow.
To know
right.
very importantly in property investment is all about cash flow. I mean, we all play the cash flow game. It's all about how you buy property and make sure
right.
you manage your cash flow.
Okay.
So I think when you consider the option on refinancing and conditional option of additional loan or what we call top-up loan, it's all about cash flow. Because once you cash, like for example, why would you want to cash out, for example, on the example that I was using about 500,000 to 100,000 to 1 million situation, then you want to cash out another 200,000 to 300,000 for what? So my idea is very simple. Once you cash it out, you don't just put it in your bank and do nothing. And normally the consideration is because you have better investment to make and you need some capital. And comparatively, your return is higher than the interest that you need to pay.
Okay, so I guess now that you've explained this, I mean, these are some of the pros and cons, which is one of the questions that Zafril is asking as well. But I think what I'm hearing a lot is the pros, the benefit
right.
of refinancing for
yes.
those who are interested in doing so.
Right.
But how about the cons? What are the downside of refinancing or even taking up a new loan, which is based on this new interest rate?
Sure. I think the whole idea is we always said, you know, the devil is always in the details.
Mm.
So like I said, you know, there is different in cons. Concept of a mortgage loan and a concept of refinancing. Because effectively, when you bought a property, when you get a mortgage over your house, that's called a mortgage loan or what you call a housing loan. So in a housing loan situation, the maximum tenure is actually, at this very moment, can be up to 35 years of tenure. So it depends on your age and your income and your credibility, etc. Right? So that could be the way to look at it when you talk about 35 years of tenure. So whatever stretch upon 35 years of tenure, the monthly commitment will become more palatable in that sense. But when you do a refinancing, this way I need to give a little bit of so-called warning and signal or red flag to all our people, as mentioned, the con, is because a refinancing effectively, if there's no change of ownership, which means you remain the owner, right? And you are just refinance it from one bank to another bank, try to get a higher value, try to get a better interest rate, it is actually considered as a personal loan. So if it is a personal loan, first of all, two things. Number one, the tenure for a personal loan can only go up to 10 years, right?
Okay.
So you can't do 35 years. So can you imagine what happened to your installment per month?
So you're saying that if someone were to refinance his mortgage from his existing bank to another bank, it will no longer be a mortgage, it will be a personal loan.
Right, it's no longer a housing loan.
Okay.
Yeah, simply because the whole idea is very simple. It's no, because when you say a housing loan, the bank criteria is what is that you are buying from someone and therefore the money is paid to someone.
I see.
Correct. So now you are actually taking loan from another bank to pay for your previous bank for a loan was given to you in the purchase in the first place. So theoretically or characteristically, is actually classified as a personal loan. So there's a different consideration there. And another con in that is that refinancing does not really, in terms of personal loan, does not really have the impact like a housing loan. Normally, housing loan rate is lower.
Mm-hmm.
Personal loan rate is higher. So this is where everyone needs to consider, wow, it is good to understand what your option is, which I've always encouraged because I'm a lawyer, which when I advise a lot of people, I said I stand for two things. I stand for option, right, and also opportunity. So what it means is that the more you know, the more option you have. So sometimes it's not about the interest rate, right? Like I said, you know, when they mention the word refinancing, I say they got nothing to do with the OPR at all. for a start, because I would say that, you know, it is something that you want to consider, because when you do refinancing, you must have a good purpose of why you need to refinance. What are the purpose of the cash out? You know, whether you have a better investment to do or you have children to support in terms of education, whatever that is, that would be your motivation and not OPR.
Okay, maybe one last question from Zafrel. And I think I'm quite curious as well after listening to what you have to say. Are there any legal implications in going through this process? Is there any legal implication that we should be aware of or issues?
I think which process are we talking about?
The refinancing process.
Okay, if you talk about refinancing, like I said, you know, I always encourage everyone to do shopping. Devil's in the details. Why? Because but for bank is like that. Your letter of offer, if you don't read the loan documentation, is fine, but always read your letter of offer before you sign it, because that's where you tell the difference and understand the concept of conventional banking versus Islamic banking, because Malaysia do have these choices. So when you talk about conventional banking, what are your rights versus in terms of Islamic banking?
Great. I hope that answers your questions, Zafrel. We'll have more of your questions and answers from Chris after these messages. So stay with us at BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for Millennials.
Hello, you've tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sharid Abdullah and I have Chris Tan here with me for the monthly property legal clinic that takes place on the last Friday of the month. Our next question is from Casey. Thank you for your question. Now, she is currently house hunting and one of the condominiums that she is eyeing is a 13-year-old property. Apparently, it has yet to issue a strata title. So her question is it safe to buy an aged property without a strata title?
Yeah, it's normal. I think the key consideration in this part, normally if you go right into it, the answer is that you really have to be aware whether how many bank would actually borrow or lend based on a property, an old existing completing property of 13 years and yet to issue strata title. Why do I ask that? It's because I do know that there are some policy of the bank that actually don't really welcome any lending based on strata property without proper strata title issue. Let's put it this way. Legally, actually, there is no issue or no concern at all as to the ownership if the documents are all in place. So which means that, you know, the first buyer, for all intended purposes, have a proper sales and purchase agreement. And for all intent and purposes, that the ownership have been acknowledged by the developers, and all these years they've been paying quick rent assessment without any problem. And more importantly, for example, in the previous buyer in situation, which is potentially a seller to Cassie now, would be the fact that they are also getting a bank loan. So which means when the bank come in, is also sometimes is quite a good sign, because the bank are happy with the security and therefore they are lending. So, but they are bank who have practiced certain policy. Like I said, it's different from bank to bank. I do understand it's not all the bank. There are selective bank that actually practice such policy whereby if you're not getting your strata title above 10 years, all right, still after that, you still have not got your strata title, then the bank will be reluctant, all right, to lend, because they perceive the security might not be enough. But there are still plenty of bank who are willing to lend based on that. So I think what KC need to be done is that really go shopping with the bank and understand which one that they can do it. So I would say there's still options, yes.
Okay. So you're saying that after 10 years, there are banks who are out there that may not consider providing a loan to buy that property. What's the significance of a strata title for a bank?
Okay, let's go back to the basis of what a strata title is. Let's put it this way. Strata title is just like any title, which means that, you know, we have the document. I mean, collaterally, we always call it the grant, yes? Grant, you know, we always say, what is that grant? So the grant is what you mean by title. Obviously, in Malaysia, which we are under a torrent system whereby every type of property are registered. As a result, that is shown in the land register, it means that the title's right are ensured.
Understood.
But what happened with strata title is, of course, first of all, if you buy a terrace house or landed property or piece of land, it's less complicated because it's individual, what we call a separate title in that sense. But you do a strata title, basically, there is involved in two things. the best metaphor when I talk about strata title is really, can just imagine about the pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a building, so you have a big pigeonhole, you have multiple pigeonhole there. And what happened is that instead of you own the land, because normally the concept of land ownership or property ownership is that you own the land and the building. All right. In this case, it's also land and the building, but in a very different connotation in that sense. Why do I say that? It's because you own a little bit of the master title, which is the underlying title that house the entire high rise, the entire building of the strata.
Mm-hmm.
And you then own one of the airspace, which I characterize it as a pigeonhole in the air.
Right.
Right. In that sense. And this airspace get a little bit more complicated now because it also come with another space, which probably at the basement, we're probably in the podium area, which is came as your car park,
right?
Right? Or your storage, whatever that is. So the whole concept of it is actually, if you ask me what does it mean, it's actually a subtitle of a master title.
Okay.
So we call it the strata title. So basically under a strata title situation, why is that taking so long without this title and whatnot? Because the process is a little bit more complicated. You need to measure the building. Because effectively, it's called subdivision of the building. Just imagine a big cake. So how you want to cut it? So the cutting of the cake, each slice of the cake would have a title in that sense. So therefore, the complication why of such thing is taking a lot more delay. But like I said, I mean, notwithstanding the technically delay and whatnot, of course, under the new law, because this is old property bought by Cassie, sorry, but under the new law, there is a expectation that you should get your key together with a strata title together. However, that is also still improving, right? And efficiency-wise, we are still not looking at too good in that sense, but I'm just saying to you that you will be getting lesser and lesser if you buy a newer property. So in terms of strata title, like I said, legally, like I said, first and foremost, just because there's no strata title doesn't mean that you don't have a good ownership. So the answer is yes, you do have, right? There's two concepts of legal ownership. One is called beneficial ownership. One is called legal ownership. So in this case, your beneficial ownership is not disputed if you have those documents to support. And if you talk about legal ownership, supposedly is when the title is issued.
Mm.
But to me, that concept is well supported as well.
Okay.
So unless there's really a big complication there. So I would say two things we need to do. Number one, we have to get a confirmation of ownership from the developer, from KC. Number two, go shop around and ask the bank, really, would they actually lend to her based on this situation?
Okay, so I guess that answers a question from Casey as well, which is, what are some of the future problems that you could face from buying a property which has no strata title? And as you mentioned earlier, I think there's a way around it. You just need to scout around a little bit more with banks that are available out there. I guess one last question, and this is from Casey. What are alternative sort of document or substitute that they could provide to the bank?
Oh, which means that actually it's a chain of document, right? That prove the ownership of the property that could be transferred from the seller to Cassie. So I think that's important. But again, if the bank already have a policy to say that I won't consider giving a loan if the strata title is not out after 10 years, then I would say that look for another bank. That would be a better thing, because then tell them your scenario is that I can only prove the ownership with all these documents, but I can't really give you a strata title. And there are banks who are willing to do it. I'm not saying there's none, but I'm just saying that don't assume. Make sure you clarify. Make sure they're okay, because at the end of the day, you don't want to sign a document or sign a loan whereby you cannot complete and then you are slapped with a penalty of a forfeiture perhaps of the 10% of your sales and purchase price.
Brilliant. Hey, thanks so much, Chris. And thank you for your questions, Casey. And I hope you found that answer from Chris helpful. And that's all the time that we have for the monthly Property Legal Clinic today. And thanks as always, Chris.
Right. Thank you for having me.
Join us again next month as Chris Tan of Chur Associates help shed light on your legal conundrums. So send your questions to property@bfm.my or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by BoomBoom.co for Millennials. Real estate for real people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.